Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to Mino and the Mayor. This segment brought to you by Sandra Rank Realty. We're going to have Sandra in again tomorrow talking about her In the House segment. That is so educational.
It is. People love
and
that.
Entertaining and informative all yeah. in the same 20-minute span, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, and she's going to be subbing for me when I'm out of town.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, she's great.
If you have any real estate questions, right. Text us tomorrow and Sandra Rank will answer them for you.
And she will.
She is just killing it in the world of real estate.
Yeah.
Well, very special guest this morning.
Oh, this guy's great.
Very special.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think you know the name, Jim Ostrom. He is a partner, president, CEO. So he's got, the guy owns the place. He's the boss. And it's National Bosses Day. So congratulations to you.
Excellent.
Thank you for being here. This is an appropriate day to have somebody like you here because you fit the bill. But he's a partner at Milk Source Agricultural Holdings and company out of Kaukauna that really, I don't want to simplify it, but it really, you teach people or consumers how food moves from field to fork. I mean, you've got an educational, you've got cows. Tell us a little bit about your business. I want to then segue into all you do for the community and when you're going to be running for office and how I can support you.
Not going to be running for office ever.
Okay. Get that one off the list.
Okay. Anyway, tell us about it. Welcome. Thanks for stopping in the studio, too.
It's a pleasure to be here. We have very large dairy farms. So we started out very small here in Northeast Wisconsin. And the dairy industry has been changing over the last 50 years, but 25 years ago, it was changing and farms were becoming more organized. Instead of a mom and pop farm, they became...
They kind of had to in
some
ways,
they had
right?
to compete, right? So Wisconsin was way behind. And at that time, a bunch of us, different dairymen, said, well, we can do that here. And we started to grow. As a small business, my first year, we had 3 employees. Mm. And we learned how to run a business and how to organize work and how to take care of animals at a larger scale. And we've now have farms in Wisconsin, Missouri, and Kansas. So we've grown a bit. We also have a little goat cheese business called LeClaire, and we have goats. We're one of the larger goat farmers around.
So I love
we've
goats.
We've got that going.
If I had a pet, I would want a goat. And I'm not even kidding. You know that I've said that. I love
yes.
goats.
I goat yoga.
Yes.
That's right, goat yoga.
I brought everyone here goat cheese. So.
Excellent.
I love that.
Thank you. Okay.
That is
Thank
so
you.
Nice. You can come back tomorrow.
I'll be here tomorrow with another load.
You know, it's one of those things,
Johnny,
too, where...
Well, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Jim had started that. They started off as this 3 group of really concerned business people about the vision and what was going on in the dairy farm. They now have 600 employees.
Yeah. That's not bad.
Yeah, and I think it's really important. I do nothing, right? I mean, nothing without the people that are making this work. And we run 24/7, 365. If I could take a Christmas day off or a New Year's day off, I would, but we can't. So our cows need us every minute of the day.
You know, Jim talked about one time where we had Mark Scogan in here and we're talking about sometimes the margins are so thin in that business. And like Jim said, you know, years ago, if stock boy dropped a bottle of ketchup and it broke, that whole carton is, you know, no profit, but your business can be like that as well, right? It can be real fragile as far as if the prices go too high or too low or whatever. That's
okay,
a real balancing
act. There's never
act.
Been prices too high.
Okay. Sorry about that. But there is kind of a balancing act, isn't there?
So if you know dairymen, dairy farmers, it's usually 3 or 4 very tough years, and then the markets get right, and then there's a good year. And those of us in the business have learned how to deal with that anguish. And usually about the 4th year, everybody's kind of wringing their hands saying, when is this going to end? And my hat's off to the people in agriculture because that's the world they live in.
And you depend on Mother Nature so much and different things, so many different factors that come into play. And I think about that, especially some of these, when you go past these former farms and you'll see a foreclosure or a farm sale or an auction or things like that, people that put their, it's never from not showing up for work. They put their heart and souls and lives into those farms.
You bet. And I want to point out something that is a bit of a misnomer, and that is when my grandfather was a young man, this is a long, long time ago, There were 80,000 dairy farmers in Wisconsin, if you can believe that number. So every 160 acres of good farmland had a red barn on it, right? Right. Well, most of those red barns are gone or they're used for something else. But almost everybody retired with a nest egg in that farmland. Not every, you know, people say, well, they were forced out of the business. Not necessarily. There's a lot of people that made a good living for their next generation, you know, to have something to pass on. And dairy farmers who worked incredibly hard, 3,000 to 4,000 hours a year, every year, many of them were able to build a store of you know, retirement in their land.
How many are there now?
You know, I want to say there's like 11,000 or somewhere in that number. I don't know for sure.
But I think when people hear, and my wife is from, you know, Neillsville, Anagul, you know, that a lot of small farms in that neck of the woods too. Because there's fewer farms doesn't mean there's less production, because they've been absorbed and brought into a more efficient model. Like,
you bet.
And I think that sometimes is scary to hear that, oh my God, we've gone from X down to this. That's not always the worst thing, because I think what you've brought is a real focus on the environment side of it, which I think is something that farming needs to always address. I want to talk about that. But more importantly, like Johnny talked about, you know, the margins. I mean, you've got to run a pretty efficient business to make money in your industry.
Right. And during COVID, when there was a massive price shock of almost every commodity in the world, we were upside down by a third. I mean, the industry was really screaming in agony, and it rebounded, thankfully. But it's a very difficult business at times, and all other times it's a very rewarding business.
I just want to say one thing. I was at Pagels one time.
You bet.
And it's have you ever been there?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these cows, they just like know where to go to get in line. Mm-hmm. It's an assembly line, and they do it on their own.
They are creatures of habit. They absolutely want to do it the same way every day.
Yeah. And boy, did he have the model for that. And boy, you couldn't have a better neighbor than John Pagel either. Just
that's right.
The way they took care of the animals. Yep. They took care of it didn't really smell like a farm, but it still is, right? I should say it. You know, I want to talk to you a little bit about the job market out there. And I think maybe there are some people that maybe my age that thought to be in agriculture and farming, you had to grow up and your grandma and grandpa did. But you're attracting talent from the universities, from people who maybe didn't necessarily grow up in that interest, but really have a desire for science and technology. And talk a little bit about your workforce.
It's a very intense industry. We have people with master's degrees, right, in nutrition. We hire as consultants, PhD nutritionists. We have people that are high tech, you know, IT. We have people that are entry level. There's a gentleman that works for us that, you know, came to this country without any resources and without an education, and now leads a team of 170 people.
Wow.
You know, truly started from the bottom, so to speak, and built leadership skills within himself and helped lead our company. And it's really rewarding to see how people can evolve in their careers.
What are some of the jobs that they would have at such a variety of things, right? I mean, you talk about the nutrition side, but if someone's at Milk Source, what kind of jobs are out there for people?
Primarily herdsmen. Crop managers, shop managers, equipment managers. We have hundreds of pieces of equipment around our company. They're all high tech. They're all heavy. They're keeping them operating 24/7 takes a lot of energy. Diesel mechanics. We have an accounting department with people that we're hiring without any agricultural experience. And IT, HR. We have a wide variety of professional positions.
It's a business. Yeah, I mean, it's not just a farm type thing. Yeah. It's a business. Yeah. I could be a herd guy.
When you said that, Johnny's been looking for a job.
Look for a part-time job.
Willie work a couple hours a day. Johnny works a little less than that. But he's looking for something to subsidize his
habit.
Yeah,
I think you're going to be on the manure team.
Okay.
That.
We'll start you there.
Can I be honest with you on something?
Yeah.
Cows don't like me. I'm not even kidding, brother. I've been on farms. I was doing this thing for a company one time, and this cow was just like, wanted nothing to do with me. And he said he can sense something.
Oh, sure. Like my dog.
Have you had that with people or cows sometimes?
Well, they're very sensitive animals.
Yeah.
And I'm a nervous person on average, a little higher strung, and cows know that immediately.
Okay.
If I'm completely relaxed, they know that.
Wow.
So they don't even have to listen to the show to know that John may be making fun of them. Okay, see, that's Johnny. They can pick that up.
Oh, they did.
I'm with Milton the cow. I'm with Milton the cow. Does. My dog doesn't like John, and it's like that's because he listens to Johnny
that's a
every
tell,
day.
Right.
Right. Yeah,
that's a tell. Hey, we're going to talk a little bit about your philanthropy. Right.
I want to talk about you've been successful. You are successful, yeah. And what you do with those resources. I want to.
It's amazing how you pay it forward.
Yeah. So I've been a part of. A lot of business startups and organizations that we started from scratch. And then one day we started this organization called Dairy Cares. It was a garden party that I hosted at my house. I have elaborate landscape gardens, not carrot gardens or green beans or anything like that. And we had 15 or 20 friends over and we thought, well, what a great night. Let's do this for a good cause. And the next year we got a larger group together and we raised $30,000. We were stunned.
Wow.
And now... 14 years later, this year we raised $450,000. Wow. There is a caveat, and that is we have 500 people over for dinner. And that's a lot of work, and that's intimidating.
Wow.
But we got an entire industry behind it, and that's agriculture and dairy in particular. Really, of all the things I've been associated with starting up an organization, Dairy Cares was easy. It got its own momentum. And people got behind it with enthusiasm, and it's truly blessed. We've raised $2.8 million so far.
And where does most of it go?
It goes to Children's Wisconsin, and they have 35-ish affiliates around the state of Wisconsin. We see our dairy community is more of a statewide organization because there's people from every corner of the state that participate, so we want to keep it more of a statewide.
That's terrific. I mean, people, you know, I like I was telling you earlier, you know, I teach and, you know, they talk about, oh, we study Steve Jobs, we study Starbucks. We need to study companies right here in Wisconsin like you. I mean, you've addressed an issue that was, you know, struggling farmers. You've kind of coalesced that and brought that into an efficient model. And now giving back to the local communities, I just think is, like, we're blessed, you know. It's thank you for doing that.
You're welcome. And I think... I encourage people, whether you have no resources or a lot of resources, to help. And if you have no resources financially, help your neighbor do something, right?
That's
outstanding.
Awesome.
We're talking with Jim Ostrom from Milk Source. Stick around, Jim. Very good. Mino and the Mayor, back after this.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Awesome.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor. We have a very special guest, Jim Ostrom from Milk Source, a corporation that helps the community in so many different ways. It's unbelievable.
You know, he's this business, and I don't know that you're a household name. You should be. I mean, Milk Source Agriculture Holdings, but a company that Jim and a couple of his partners started with three employees to really just focus on getting, I guess, I don't know how food moves from field to the fork through dairy farming and some other, the farming industry. And What he has done is, it's incredible. He's got 600 employees now, based out of Kakana, but just hires people that maybe don't even have an agriculture experience, but really have a cause and a really interest in technology and best management practices and, you know, care of natural resources of crops and animals. And he's here with us today, and he's successful. And rightfully so. And we're talking about, you know, once you do have profit, you have happy employees, you've got a foot in the industry. We start talking about philanthropy. And Jim, you have been raising money through your friends. You have dinner at your house for 500 people. That's I'm sure that's no stress.
It's a tall order. It is. We have a committee.
Kind of like breakfast on the farm.
Yeah, yeah. We have a committee of about 60 people that make it look easy.
Yeah, right, right. And you need that. But tell us about where some of this money goes.
So Children's Wisconsin, again, has 35 branches roughly around Wisconsin. But what happens is pretend you're a EMT out in Marshfield, Wisconsin. How do you know how to treat an infant under extreme medical stress? Well, the simulation lab at Children's Hospital does training for people, and they'll have a dummy, so to speak, full of computers that they simulate certain levels of shock, health distress, and you work on it full time, and you can tell by vital signs what is potentially going wrong. And it's just training, so that when there is a crisis, the medical responders and the nurses and the doctors have the ability to respond appropriately.
That's talk about state of the art, huh?
It's truly great. It really helps people learn.
And you're talking about even a motorcycle accident. You throw different scenarios at them and they're hands on.
You bet. And in the urban areas, if there's a shooting of some sort, unfortunately, they can train doctors and nurses to deal with that in real time very quickly.
Wow.
Where are these set up? Where do you have these?
The simulation lab is near Milwaukee, and they bring people in to do the training there.
How much does something like that cost?
I have no idea.
A few breakfasts on the farm, huh?
The cool thing about it is it's named after Dairy Care, so we're really excited
about
that.
That's fantastic. Wow.
And like we talked about, many of us know someone who would benefit from something like that. You know, we talk about there's some things that happen that are kind of unique, but I mean, there's stress situations, tragedy that happens not every day, but often.
Well, we chose Children's Hospital because we always said it is one degree of separation from needing it. We know somebody or love somebody that has a family member in distress at any given time. And oftentimes they're sending them to Children's for, let's just call it extreme medical expertise.
Absolutely. But who decided this is what we're going to go into? I mean, there's 8 million different charities or different types of things you could have gotten. What made you decide, or your board or whomever,
group,
this is what we're going to do?
Well, I didn't decide. The group decided.
Right.
And it was easy because we all knew somebody or had a family member that really was helped by Children's. And I think there's probably nothing in life more stressful than a child in distress.
Nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing close. Hey, nothing.
As I told you, when I first met you, well, I've met you before, but I mean, when I talked to you this morning, I teach at TC. Tell me like your management style.
Well, I'm a detail person. I spend a lot of energy really focusing to make sure we hit our fundamentals, right? It's a lot like coaching a team. And when I say that, I say collectively, our organization focuses on it. There's nobody in particular that runs it all. It's a team of experts and we spend a lot of energy on our culture and how we want to work with people and treat people and likewise expect them to treat people. So we spend a lot of time with our supervisors, training them, and sometimes our first-time supervisors. And, you know, when I was a kid, everything I learned about managing was by watching television. The boss is always a jerk on television. So we had to really learn the right way of leading people.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, through respect and through teaching and training and reteaching and retraining and holding people accountable in a polite way.
You know, it's funny. I was watching the NFL wrap-up shows yesterday, and Ron Rivera, head coach of the Washington team, and they won in this post-game speech show. He was talking about, okay, guys, what's the number one thing every day we have to think about? Details, little things. Don't expect great things if you're not great at the little things.
Yep.
And I thought that sounds pretty much like the philosophy you have. Don't expect great things if you don't do the little things great.
Yep. And in our industry, it's how much milk is the cow giving, right? Well, that's our output.
Yeah.
But that's really the last derivative of all the other 10,000 decisions that get made in a day. And it's true in any organization that there's so many small things that matter.
Tell me, I'm just curious as to your perspective, because you've been around the workforce today. They millennials or 28-year-olds, 29-year-olds. What do you see in the workforce today?
Well, I think it's consistent with what we've heard from many other people, and it's changing. When I was 19 or 20 or 25, it was, you know, I'm going to work 3,000 hours a year and I'm going to save up for a boat and a snowmobile and a cottage, right? That was everybody's dream in Northeast Wisconsin, and we weren't any different. I think it's shifted, and there's a lot of folks that are very, solid contributors to an organization, but at 39 and a half hours,
yeah,
they're kind of wrapping up.
I know what you mean.
And I think they weigh companies like yours that you do philanthropy. That is so important to kids today.
Agreed. You bet. We don't do it for that reason.
No.
But it is part of the culture of helping and giving.
One last quick question for you. Are there people coming out of high school that say, I want to be a dairy farmer, I want to do these kind of things? Is there still that interest? Is it inbred almost with us and with Wisconsin people?
It is. We spend some energy supporting youth organizations in our industry, and it's people fall in love with this industry, and they can't shake it. I fell in love with it. I couldn't shake it.
Awesome.
Jim Ostrom, thank you so much, Milk Source, for what you do. You're saving lives.
Thank you.
You're great.
Thank you so much. Mind on the Mayor, back after this.
She's got a ticket to ride, and she don't care.
So somebody who knows history would know that has nothing to do with it. Okay.
Hey, welcome back. Mind on the Mayor. Special thanks to a very fine gentleman.
Is he the best?
He's the best. Money they have raised for local charities and doing the thing for Children's Hospital, where, like I said, they're saving lives probably. What a great, the simulator that they put together.
Right, down in Milwaukee. But Johnny, the other thing that he did that I think is even bigger than that is, not that he saved an industry, but he corrected an industry that was it was hurting.
It can be fragile.
All those small farms.
At one time, they were, two-thirds underground type thing?
Yeah. And so anyway, he's done a good job with
phenomenal.
That.
And great man. And he brought us some great goat cheese.
Yeah, that's true, too.
I would love to have a goat for a pet.
Why?
I'm not kidding. Because you could just leave them outside. They can just eat
like
whatever.
Like you did with your dog.
Yeah. They can just eat whatever they want. That'd be awesome. They eat garbage. You can give them your garbage. You'll eat it.
Yeah, God, I wouldn't. Yeah, do
this, I would love a goat for a pet.
Do they spit on you?
No, they're nice.
Llamas.
They're docile.
Oh, those are the llamas.
Those are llamas, right? Llamas. I don't like llamas.
Llamas are.
I am not a fan of.
I love llamas.
I know you do.
Because they have that attitude. Like
they spit on you, don't they? Don't they?
They spit.
Yeah,
they're arrogant looking.
Yes,
I love them.
And they spit.
Okay.
All right.
So
segment brought to you by Pella. Your window to the world. We're talking movies. First of all, okay. So I'm working on getting a very, very, very special guest on our show. And I thought all of you would be so excited. It's incredible. And it's one of the co-stars of one of the great shows on TV, The Curse of Oak Island. So Pete here, an entertainment specialist, I guess that's the best word.
Producer.
I guess he's
who hasn't watched Oak Island, sadly.
Who has never watched the show.
Yeah. Right.
That's our entertainment specialist, hasn't seen the show. You haven't seen the show. Todd, who I expected to be totally whatever, hasn't seen the show.
No, I've seen it.
Christy hasn't seen the show. Curse of Oak Island. It's a phenomenal show.
Well, you kind of set it up as like, this is the number one show
ever. It is. It's the number one
ever,
cable show on TV.
Ever.
Quick poll.
That's just
quick
not
poll.
True.
Quick poll. Do you watch Curse of Oak Island? Yes or no? Yes or no? Just a yes or no.
You can text in, download the Civic Media app, make sure and choose WGBW or WISS. Lower right-hand corner is the text button.
What's that going to tell us?
We're going to have a wager on this.
No, that's not going to tell us anything.
Do you watch Curse of Oak Island? Yes or no? That's all you have to say is yes or no.
You always stir stuff up that's not like, this is, it's the most popular show on cable.
History of cable TV.
The history of cable TV.
It's the most popular show in the
not
TV
even close.
Cable
this
history.
Is like Jim is not equating this to a nothing burger. I think they say it in politics. You're saying it's the greatest thing ever. Jim's like, this isn't even a show.
Right. It's not even in the top 10. That's right. So anyway, Pete,
top show of all time.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Pete. Welcome.
Hey, thanks.
Pete, how you doing, buddy?
It's great to be here.
We want that title. You're an entertainment
specialist.
Specialist.
Wow. Okay.
A doctorate of entertainment.
Christy is our specialist on local entertainment doings. Okay. You're the ombudsman of everything else.
Right.
Why don't we use the word ombudsman more?
I know, right?
It's such a great word.
It's awkward. Think of ways to use it.
It's like peculiar. But it's a great word.
Yes.
But it's too broad.
Okay. That's fair.
All right. Todd, how are we doing on the poll?
This is not a nothing burger.
Every vote has been a no so far.
Yes.
Come on.
See, okay, this is where.
Where are my people?
This is scary.
The Curse of Oak Island on the History Channel.
Who cares if it's scary?
No, it's not scary.
Two guys in the UP trying to find medieval treasure. Come on.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, anyway, Pete, you are our guru when it comes to.
Actually, you know what they think might be buried there? The thing from what were they looking for in Raiders of the Lost Ark?
The Holy Grail?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, they think the Holy Grail might be buried there. Yes. No. Well, it's off the coast of Nova Scotia, but the two guys are from the UP. They're from Kingsford. They're Kingsford Flivers. And they're trying to find, they think the Holy Grail was there because the Crusaders, they found carvings that match the Crusaders logo that they used to have. Yes. This is serious stuff.
John,
you might find the Ark of the Covenant.
This is
important
marketing.
Stuff.
Marketing. Here's my advertising.
Todd, how are we doing on the poll?
Somebody just found this.
This is 3 seconds ago.
You guys, could Todd speak?
Yeah.
100% no at this point.
100. Oh my God. 100%. John, that would be an absolute.
Can you imagine people in the UP finding the Holy Grail?
Yeah.
The reaction would be, oh.
Holy wah.
Holy wah. That could be worth 10 bucks. Well,
hey, hang on. I got to call Toivo. Tell him what I just found here. Yo, Toivo, I think I found the Ark of the Holy Grail. No crap.
It's the real thing.
Well, let me get a sixer. I'll go take a look at her, huh?
Get some eggs and juice and talk about this.
Absolutely. You're going to call your wife? No.
Hey, guys, it's the Holy Grail. Maybe call the authorities.
Exactly.
Before you have breakfast.
I'm going to bring that out to deer camp. We'll put it right next to that 12-point buck I got a couple of years ago. Remember that one? Yeah, you shot that right out the window at a camp.
The one above your garage.
So
the one
what?
Above your garage
right,
fridge.
That's not even right, legal. Right. Oh, who cares?
Okay.
Yep. Exactly.
That's Pete, scary. If you're a deer,
some venison bacon with it, eh? All right.
We got venison Pete, coffee right here.
All right. Yes.
Dynamite.
Oh, Pete, how are you?
Pete Schwab.
How are you?
Yeah, good.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
Good.
Pete, you're employed with Civic Media, as Johnny and I are so far. I don't know how that's going to end up today. Pete,
big meeting after the show.
It's been a good run.
you guys didn't hear about it.
Gee, John, Sage is online too. Pete, what are you working on?
What am I working on?
Yeah.
Like
in the movie,
TV.
What's going on in the movie scene?
Oh.
Well, locally, I saw something. They're asking for extras for a movie. Is it the one that's being shot at the Union Hotel?
I don't know about that.
Because our girl, Heather Marie. Heather, if you're listening, let us know.
Oh, I know Heather, sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm working on a couple of projects of my own, and a TV project and a movie project, and being the best darn employee of Civic Media that I can be. I love gigging here. It's awesome. But yeah, I'm just trying to... every year at this time, I try to watch more scary movies. It's not my favorite genre, but I did watch one this week earlier called Barbarian. Have you seen it?
No, we're not doing too well with movies.
No,
today,
it's
no Curse
movies.
Of Oak Island, but wow. It's...
To me, a scary movie back in the day wasn't... Because now they're mainly, like, a lot of them are slashers, and I could see Todd watching those. I could see Todd sitting down and... Watch a bunch of slasher movies. Would you, Todd?
I like Halloween is my favorite.
Okay,
that's what Pete is. But to me, scary movies back then, do you remember Rosemary's Baby?
Oh, sure.
Wait Until Dark. Remember that one?
Sure.
Those kind.
The Omen, filmed here in northern Wisconsin. Creeped the living. That scene
where
the dad, up near Eagle River.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, parts of it. B-roll, and they did some second unit stuff. And I think they actually shot some of the actors up there on location. But that scene where the dad is moving the kid's hair while he sleeps to see if 666 is on his skull, if he is the father of the devil born of a jackal. I mean, it's the creepiest scene ever. Yeah, this guy's got a lot going on. Like,
I was a real little kid, the scariest movie, and we were allowed to watch it, but it was, and now you think it's all really, The Birds.
Oh, yeah.
Alfred Hitchcock, The Birds.
Oh, yeah, totally.
That was what do you mean now? It's like, that's still a scary movie.
That would still be a good one
that
to watch.
That is a great,
you
great
still go
movie.
Out and see a flock of birds.
Right.
And you're like, is this the moment? You
right.
Know,
is this it?
Oh, that's a great movie.
Barbarian is creepy. It's like, it's an Airbnb, and a girl shows up, and there's a guy already staying there. And you think he's going to be the bad guy, but then there's a lot of other stuff going on, creepy stuff in this house. It's like a comedy condo from the 90s where they used to put us up in. And there's way down in the basement, there's creepy stuff going on. And it wasn't a slasher. It was just some really good scares in it. It was really well done, too.
What was the movie? I'll tell you another scary movie, but it's frustrating because it's like, really? That? Come on. Be smarter with what you do. It's that one where these people go to a cabin and they knock on the door.
Friday the 13th?
No.
Oh,
Todd, you know what?
Conjuring? No.
No, but there's so many movies about kids that go for a weekend trip to a cabin. Right. I mean, pretty much every movie starts.
Right. I think that's how Scooby-Doo started, wasn't it?
Let's go out into the woods and make good decisions. Yeah, there you go.
Hey, guys, let's go down to the boathouse at midnight.
Scoob.
All you got to do is keep your nightie on.
Oh, it's like, I mean, I'll tell you what, though. You watch true crime. I just started watching true crime with my daughter, and it's what has happened for real is so scary. And yes. I haven't even heard of half the crimes.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy killed 32 people. Shouldn't that have made news?
I know, right?
It's awful. I
There's a lot of that on TV. I'll tell you what.
What do you think is the scariest movie ever made?
It's Halloween. They have some marathons too, right? That you can watch scary movies.
Oh, yeah.
And what? Yeah, this is
that
your
stays with you though. It's like you watch like three or four scary movies in a row.
Yeah.
It's like maybe I should kill my family. I don't know. It's like it's awful. You know. It's like, so I don't like
that. Wow.
But probably the
didn't know we're going there. No.
Let's just take
a lot of what I say seriously.
Boy, look at the time. Hey, 44 in Green Bay, 43 and a half.
Is that the police? Coming up outside the window there?
Yeah. If that's the outcome.
Hey, Officer Craig. Yeah, he's right here.
Right. He's back again. Oh, he loves me.
Yeah, that's the outcome. I think we'll stop at two. But
scariest
anyway,
movie of all time.
I would say.
Todd.
Yeah.
Quick poll this too. Scariest movie of all time from our listeners.
We already got a text in. The Shining was one of the votes.
That's up there for me too, definitely. And I would say The Omen, The Shining. Anything where, I mean, Jack Nicholson, that scene in The Shining where he's in the restroom with the men's room attendant midnight with the stars and you is playing in the background and the guy already knows what he's going to do.
Yeah.
It's just, it's phenomenal movie making. So I would say The Shining and probably The Omen are my two.
Todd, what are yours?
Curious.
I like The Omen. I like Exorcist is up there for
the original?
Me as well.
Yeah. Have you seen the new one?
I have not.
Yeah.
I've heard kind of mixed, you know.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes rating got is probably scarier than the movie. It's got like a 21% or something like that. I haven't seen it yet, but the trailer looks horrible. It's just like a gross fest, you know what I mean? I'm sure it's scary too.
I'll tell you a quick story about The Exorcist. So I saw it for the very first time, and this elderly lady had to get up and go to the bathroom, or maybe she was too, okay? So we're sitting there, and it's a really scary, but then she's coming back, and I could tell she's looking for a seat, and it's so dark. And she's like this, bent over looking.
Oh, no.
And this girl's sitting there, and all of a sudden, she starts screaming throughout the entire theater. And like the most heart-stopping scream you've ever heard in your life.
Have you ever seen a show called The Night Stalker? Kolchak?
Yeah,
remember
absolutely.
From the 70s? I started watching those recently because they're on, I think it's on Peacock.
That was the dad from Christmas Story.
Yeah. It's a little dated, but it holds up. Yeah. It's just a reporter at night. I think it's in Chicago.
I loved that show.
Yeah, it's fun. I watched a couple episodes of that like 3 weeks ago. I was like, all right, this just kind of. But
was your scariest?
Exorcist was a good movie.
Okay.
That really was. We were in high school when that came out. Remember that?
Just getting out of high school. Yeah.
Yeah.
But right about the same age. Anyway, so 76.
That movie. Like, I'll go back to some of that Alfred Hitchcock stuff, black and white movies.
Oh, yeah.
I think those are great movies.
Rear Window. It's one of my all-time favorite.
Rear Window's great.
Phenomenal.
But, you know, I mean, I just can't argue with The Shining, right? That was just...
Yeah. I'm trying to think of that movie, though. But these people are in a cabin, and...
Was Julia Roberts in that movie?
No. And these people come there, and they're going to do whatever to them. And it's like, it just ticks me off, because, okay, first of all, if you're in a cabin in the middle of the woods, and somebody knocks on the door... Okay, really? You don't answer the door with a gun in your hand?
Right.
You know what I mean? You just have a gun in your hand. We've talked about that. You live out in the country.
I live in the hood.
But you know what I mean? I mean, you always got to carry a weapon, don't you?
The country scares me more than living in town or the hood
or
wherever. Honestly, I like being around people. Like,
me too.
One of those cabin movies I saw, I remember being in the theater and laughing out loud. It was probably the 90s. I think it was one of the Friday the 13th. And they were trying to keep the bad guy out, and they put the gun...
That's what I mean.
To shut the door so he couldn't get in. And I'm like, don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there a fork or something?
Right. Like, you got to use. Yeah, exactly.
Terrible.
There's literally a movie out that just came out this year, 2023, called Knock at the Cabin.
Oh, so
really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Idea.
While vacationing, a girl and her parents are taken hostage by armed strangers.
Wow.
Who's at the door? It's John Minow wanting to talk about the curse of the oak.
I just need, that's a quick poll. Do you watch The Curse of Oak Island?
Give me an answer and I'll get out of
here.
Come on. I'm not here to hurt you.
I know it's 3 a.m. and it's a deserted cabin. I just need to know. I'm going cabin to cabin. I got to win this poll.
Do you guys remember Angel Heart? Mickey Angel Rourke Heart. And Robert De Niro. Mickey Rourke's character wants to be a crooner. He makes a deal with the devil.
No.
And he forgets about it. And Robert De Niro sends him on this mission to solve this case. And he realizes Robert De Niro is the devil. And I made a deal with him. And that's famous.
Yes.
That's a scary movie.
Yes.
Scared the heck out
of me. Wait a minute. Who did you say was in that?
Mickey Rourke.
No. And, I don't think so. Is it Al Pacino and Kiefer? Not Kiefer. Sorry. Al Pacino and somebody. Keanu Reeves.
Oh, you're talking about The Devil's Advocate?
Yes.
Maybe? Yeah. No.
Yes. That's pretty scary.
That is scary. I saw that ages ago.
Yeah. That's a scary movie.
Al Pacino's scary in pretty much anything he does.
I'll tell you, you know what else is pretty scary? Is Seven. Did you ever see Seven?
Seven's horrible. Oh! I watched it once. That's not like a comfort movie.
No.
Like, if that's on late at night, you're skipping through.
And it doesn't have a happy ending.
No, it does not.
Oh, have you seen Seven?
Oh, oh my goodness. Do yourself a favor. Not funny, but a good watch.
You won't feel great afterwards.
It's awful.
We're with Pete, our entertainment director. We'll be back with more right after this. Mino and the Mayor,
and Pete
Schwaba, our entertainment director,
and Christy,
we got the squad. We got the squad here.
Yeah.
This segment brought to you by our brand new sponsor, Midwest Restoration. They've got heart and understands your circumstances. If you are in trouble, they go above and beyond. They're committed to your needs. They are professionals, fully trained and dedicated to working with your needs. Water damage can occur from a pipe breaking in your home, a sump pump or water heater failing. Emergency service to respond immediately to your needs, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, Midwest Restoration. They are truly awesome. They're going to be a great sponsor for Mind on the Mayor. We got a lot of big things that are going to be taking place with them. We couldn't ask for a better sponsor. And once again, one of the cool things we do at one of our remotes is we're going to have Coin and Jim wrestle.
That ain't going to happen.
Wrestle alligators.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, he's going to be the alligator. You'll be the alligator, Jim. If you need to get a hold of Midwest Restoration, their number is 920-MIDWEST.
They do great service, and they've got empathy, and they know what they're doing.
I'm trying to think.
We're 15 days.
What's her name? What's her name? And the guy, the one.
That one.
Oh, God, yeah, why John. Can't I think of this?
The guy, the one.
Right. Jody Foster.
Oh, Taxi Driver.
No,
John Hinckley.
No,
Fava Beans.
Oh, yeah, the Silence of the Lambs.
Silence of the Lambs. Thank you, Todd.
You know what I'll say?
The book is awesome.
That was scary.
It was a good movie. There's a movie called Manhunter that Michael Mann directed, starring William Peterson and Dennis Farina, who was my Little League coach, by the way.
Dennis Farina was your Little League coach?
He was.
Shut up.
Honestly, God.
How
that's
was
a story
Dennis Farina? In Marinette?
No, in Chicago. I spent the first 12 years of my life in Chicago, and he was our third base. My dad and him were the coaches.
I love Dennis Farina.
Yeah, he's great.
He's great. Did you ever see him in Snatch?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't he awesome in that
movie? He's great in that. He's great in the John Travolta film, Get Shorty.
Yes.
He keeps getting punched in the nose.
Yes. You know what we talked about?
No.
Oh, it's a great, sorry. It's a great film. But Manhunter's a great film. And the guy who plays Hannibal Lecter, Brian Cox from Succession, I will say is better than Anthony Hopkins.
He
just has two scenes with William Peterson, but he is so creepy. I highly recommend Manhunter.
Nice. All right,
so we're 15 days away from Halloween. This is scary movie season, and I don't know if we're going to watch one movie a day, but people need to, you know, this is a time you can kind of lean into scary movies. And you were saying The Shining. We all kind of agreed. Wasn't that kind of unanimous here as the best? But some of these other movies that people can... I think they can download them. I don't think it's going to cost that much, right? Some of these are probably free now.
A lot
now.
Of them are free. Right. Tubi's great. If you don't mind a few ads, Tubi or Pluto, you can see a lot of movies for free. I would say the Purge movies are pretty creepy. I think those are supposed to take place in Devil's Night, too. I've only seen the first two. And Devil's Night is the night before Halloween that I think became famous in Detroit. They celebrated a little bit in Chicago.
Devil Night was the night before Halloween, and kids would go out and just set
fire. Egg houses. Yeah.
They'd start fires. Yeah. It was burned down garages and things.
It's fun.
It was unbelievable what they used to be.
Pleasant. It's kids being kids.
Yeah, come on.
A little vandalism never hurt anybody.
As they say today, kiddos. They like calling them kiddos because that's like kiddos. Give me a break.
Kiddos.
So have you ever thought about writing and producing a horror movie?
Am I?
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
No, why not?
I have a couple ideas, but I've never gone there. Comedy is mostly my... Hey, okay. Here's a thing.
Okay.
When I was touring as a stand-up, Milwaukee was one of my favorite cities to work. They have the Comedy Cafe was there. They used to put comics up in a condo, a comedy condo, they call it, and it was haunted. And people would say that, and you'd always be there with the other comic, and it's like, well, what's going to happen? And things, I did notice things, it's weird, and I never really believed in that stuff, but it was haunted. The place was haunted, and I cannot figure out.
You could talk to that guy right there. He'll tell you all about it.
Todd loves Todd's haunted.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm sorry. I was reading something. I was listening
to another morning show.
Yes,
sorry.
Yes.
Wow. Murph is so funny today.
We're really going to miss him.
I'm going to miss him.
It's a swan song. You guys understand.
Yeah. What am I going to listen to in the mornings from now on?
Yeah, Todd, welcome.
Now listen to this crap.
Yeah, we get it scary.
Somebody just texted in deranged the story about Ed Gein.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen that either, yeah.
What other ones? Any more, Todd?
The Shining has come off a couple of times.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Anything with Gacy or Dahmer or those things. Like I remember when they put Gacy, when they put him to sleep, right?
Right.
I mean, and a friend of mine immediately called me and he said, do you feel more creeped out now that he's dead? Like he's in the stratosphere. Yeah. Right. Yeah, it was just really
Well, you know, creepy. Another one, though, the original Psycho.
Oh, yeah.
Great. I mean, I'll tell you what. With that shower scene?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That made me appreciate my mom a lot more.
Well, I'll tell you what. It was this cold. It was that thunderstorm and lightning and everything. And she goes in the shower.
Yeah.
To this day, when the weather's like that, I get nervous attacking somebody in a shower.
Right. Because you don't know who's behind you.
Exactly.
You're just there to kill someone.
You don't know.
You don't know what's coming up behind you.
Right.
You don't think those people don't have worries and scary stuff too?
Anxiety. Yeah.
You're all there by yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Christy, what's your scariest movie of all time?
Probably The Shining.
The Shining, yeah. Boy, it's almost unanimous.
It is.
Yeah. Two phones. Is one of those a burner? What are you on some kind of
a...
So one she makes all of her gambling bets on.
One's a sat phone, yeah. She doesn't want to be traced.
Todd, what do you got for us?
What do you want? We're just
going to Todd. We always like to go to Todd once in a while.
I was trying to pull up the screeching sound effect when she's getting stabbed.
Oh, yeah.
In the shower,
oh, man.
Couldn't bring it up fast enough.
Yeah. So another one when I was, I mean, I'm old, but another really scary movie when I was a kid was Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte. Do you remember that movie?
No, I haven't.
And it was
seen
with
that.
Two of the big, with what's her name that was always in horror movies? Betty Davis.
Oh, yeah.
It was with Betty Davis and Joan Crawford. And it turns out they hated each other in real life.
Oh, really?
And that when they do some of those scenes, it was like, they were really trying to like rip each other's eyes out.
Called on to their innate.
You don't remember that one?
I remember the name, but I don't know that I remember that movie.
When the head came rolling down the stairs and everything? In that era, that was scary.
Not funny.
No. Yeah, no. Hey, Pete.
2 minutes.
For people who have got children.
Yeah.
Is there a good scary family movie like that's not like they're gonna maybe sleep that night? Maybe not that night, but the next night.
Wow, you kind of stumped me there. I'm sure there is.
That's a tough combination.
Beethoven. Right, Beethoven is very.
Tell me a good bourbon that I won't get drunk on. Okay?
I will say. Okay, that's all interesting. Right. You said that there are two movies in particular that are PG-13, I believe, and one's called Fright Night from the late '80s, and Chris Sarandon plays this guy. There's some really funny laughs in it, as well as some jump scares, and then April Fool's Day, the guy from who played Biff in Back to the Future, is in that, and there are some really funny moments in that, but also kind of where you jump too.
Okay. I'm just trying to get the Fright popcorn Night, and getting Day.
What about the one with the witches? What's her name from Sex and the City? It's one of the stars.
Witches of Eastwick.
Is that what it is? No. What am I thinking of?
Hocus Pocus.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Hocus
Pocus. I mean, it's witches, but it's still funny, right? I guess.
Sure. Ghostbusters. Yeah. Very scary.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh. Cocaine
that
Busters.
That made me jump. That was a good scene. I'm not the guy. I get scared. A lot of stuff scares me.
You got any good weed that won't get me stoned?
Hey, I've
already incriminated myself on this show.
We're not way past that.
You're doing it again.
We're way past that.
Exactly. We're out of time.
Thanks, guys.
This is where does
thank
the time
you,
go?
Pete.
Big Schwabba, thank you so much. Here's our
scary
Midwest
movie.
Communications. Not Midwest. Civic Media. I'm reading the Midwest. And then same time. No, it's
Happy Boss's Day, Sage.
Happy Boss's Day, Sage.
We love you.
It's been fun.